Democratic presidential hopeful Elizabeth Warren has a number of economic and policy proposals that she's fleshed out on her website, in speeches, and in legislation she's backing. Half relate to business and economic issues. Ms. Warren insists she's a capitalist, yet she favors aggressive new ways to redistribute wealth, a heavy government role in the economy, and other policies relatively close to the Democratic socialist Bernie Sanders. But as senior columnist Rick Newman says in Yahoo Finance, the ideas of the Massachusetts senator are framing much of the policy discussion in the 2020 campaign, to the extent there is any policy discussion this early in the race. Rick set this up.
Well, she's famously got a plan for everything, and she really does have a plan for everything, detailed plans. I spent some time looking through her economic plans. I analyzed 13 different plans she has for economic issues, and I graded each of them based on what seems most likely to be effective and workable. So I start with the two things she wants to do to raise more revenue. She's got two new tax ideas. One is called the Real Corporate Profits Tax, and that would be a 7% surtax on corporate profits above $100 million. So that would apply to big companies. And she says you need a surtax because if you just raised the corporate tax rate, there's so many loopholes that that really wouldn't get companies to pay more tax. And, you know, we have almost a $1 trillion deficit this year. So somebody's taxes are too low, and I think corporate taxes are probably going up at some point. So I gave this idea a B because it's a reasonable way to raise taxes on companies that really have benefited the most from globalization. She's got another tax called the ultra-millionaire tax, which is a 2% tax on net worth above $50 million. And I'm giving that a D because I think it's just very hard to enforce. I mean, it's not an income tax. It's a wealth tax. And, you know, it's really hard to know how much wealth a family has. Part of it's real estate. Part of it is art. Part of it is automobiles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could very easily say, one expert told me, you know, my Renoir just isn't worth as much as it used to be. So you got a problem there. But somehow she wants to raise revenue, and then she's got a lot of plans for how to spend that additional revenue. And again, some of the ideas are better than others.
All right. What about, as you say, shackling lobbyists?
I rate that an A. That is her best proposal in my mind. She basically wants to pass a law that says if you retire as a member of Congress, you are prohibited from ever becoming a lobbyist. She wants to basically just close the revolving door and put other types of limitations on what lobbyists can do and who can be a lobbyist. I mean, that might not be constitutional, but look, I mean, there's so much influence peddling in Washington that I think that's actually a good idea.
All right. We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance, and he's written a piece about Elizabeth Warren's best and worst economic ideas. What else was high on your list?
Let's see. Free college and canceling all student debt. That is a big one, very populist idea. But, you know, all this free stuff can be very problematic. So if you make college free, you're not making it free. The federal government is paying for it. But what you're going to do is dramatically increase the demand for a college education. She wants to make it free at public universities, but you have all these new, tons of people flooding into the system, which would probably compromise quality. We don't necessarily have a system that's ready for that. And this would probably force tuition way higher at private universities because suddenly you have so much more demand. So when supply is limited and demand goes way up, the price goes way up, and I think you have to think about that. Yeah, so, you know, all the green, you know, so a lot of the free stuff, you know, that's where you get into unintended consequences. Universal child care, that's another expensive program she proposes. I think this is actually a better idea because I think this might, so I'm giving this a B. The idea here is to help lower-income families just get child care, and the government would pay for that and partner with providers in communities, so they would not be government-operated child care centers. The government would be helping foot the bill. I think that would address what is a legitimate problem with the difficult, you know, the amount of money people pay just so they can go to work. So you end up paying, you know, 40% of what you earn just to, you know, in child care, and then you're just not taking that money home. I think that would actually be helpful. She's got a lot of other ideas like that. The one last thing I'll talk about is breaking up big tech. She wants to break up Amazon, Google, and Facebook, and she has a post on Medium.com where she explains why. I'm giving that a D. because I just don't think that is a really well thought out plan. I think she's just trying to poke the big tech companies to score some populist points, and she doesn't really make a strong case for why consumers would be better off if we break up those companies.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, based in New York.